Today, obviously, I'm going to do my best to honor all the mothers by preaching on a biblical mother here. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We'll start in verse number 10. If you brought your Bible, say amen. Amen. Thank you for being in church today. Pray for those who cannot be here, specifically for the Browder family this morning as they're down with Dylan. They got transferred to USA Hospital last night. Pray that they'll get some answers, okay, for what's going on with him. Pray for Brother Junior this morning. Brother Tim, good to see you back in church this morning, brother. I know you've been missing. We've been missing you, and we're glad you're back. Good to see Brother Ian home for how long? A month. I didn't want to ask Miss Kristen what she thought about him being home that long, but I'm glad you're here, buddy. Brother Andy's heading back to the rig today, so tell him goodbye. It's just good to see people in church. Amen. I like seeing people smile and open up the Word of God, but it's preaching time, so let's try to do our diligence to the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for yet another opportunity, Lord, to serve you, Lord, an opportunity to stand behind this pulpit, Lord, and preach. Lord, I just thank you for using me. Lord, I know I don't deserve it, and Lord, I know you could have done so much better than me. But Lord, I just want to do my due diligence to you this morning and honor and glorify you, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, you just bind the devil off this place. Thank you for the mothers this morning who are here and the daddies and the sons and the daughters and the aunts and uncles, grandmas, grandpas, Lord, everybody that's here under the sound of my voice and those that are listening on live stream, Lord. I pray, God, you just open up the hearts and minds of your people this morning. Let them receive your word. Lord, I thank you for Sunday school this morning. Thank you for Brother Walter preaching, Lord, boldly. Lord, what he believes and his standards. And Lord, I'm thankful, God, that we have a God who does have standards and that we ought to uphold to them standards that you give us. Now, Lord, if you'll just cleanse me of sin, Lord, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit this morning, Lord, allow me to preach, Lord, like it's my last time. And if it is, Lord, I pray, God, you're honored by it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 10, the Bible says, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." She is Hannah. "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth." Eli's the priest. "Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial or the devil, but for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord." This morning I want to preach a simple message. The prayer of a mother answered. The prayer of a mother answered. How many moms we got in here today? Raise your hand. Spiritual moms, physical moms. Listen, I guarantee you, if you got any spiritual bone in your body, that you've spent time praying for your children. There ain't no doubt about it. I promise you, we could go around this room and you could tell us specific things that you prayed for in the past. Maybe some of you have prayers going on for your children right now that are very specific. We notice in this that this woman had a pretty specific prayer, didn't she? She was not yet a mother. She was barren. She was envious of those around her. She wanted and desired to be a mom. And can I say, that's not a bad desire. Everybody okay with that? This world will tell you today that that's a terrible thing. They'll tell you that if you do get pregnant, hey, you don't have to even have that child. Go get it aborted. You don't have to worry about that. They'll try to talk you out of having children. Hey, God put you here to do that. Some of you. That's not a bad desire to be a wife and a mom. Everybody okay? Don't let the world confuse you and tell you that's a terrible thing. It's a good thing. Hey, I'm thankful God gave me a wife that wanted to be a mother. I'm thankful that God gave me a wife that is okay with being a wife. It's too quiet. It's okay to have that desire, ladies. It's okay to have that desire. But I want to show you some things this morning. In verse number 10, we see the bitterness of soul in this lady. You say, what does that mean? Well, it signifies a profound state of inner pain, distress, or sorrow, often stemming from a deep and prolonged experience of suffering or hardship. It's not just a momentary sadness, but a pervasive sense of anguish that affects the spirit and soul. Look back in verse number 2. The Bible says, and he had two wives, the name of the one Hannah, and the name of the other Penina. And Penina had what? But Hannah had what? And this man went up out into his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah had offered, he gave to Penina his wife and all her sons and her daughters portions. Can you imagine how Hannah must feel? Hannah no doubt wants a son. She wants children. Here her husband has another wife. Now how many wives would like that? All y'all laughing and saying that wouldn't happen. And all God's people said, that wouldn't happen. But it did happen. And not only that, was she just the other wife. She was the wife with no children, had no portions to be given to her children. She got to watch yearly as her husband took Penina up and offered sacrifices and gave blessings to her and to her children and to his children. And here she is just sitting on the back burner wondering, what in the world have I done wrong? Why can't I have that? You could see how she could become very envious of those around her, especially the other woman. So you know that she was no doubt in a deep distress time in her life. She was sad. And can I say, sometimes it's okay to be sad. Everybody all right with that? It's okay to be sad. Be careful judging those who are sad. Because let me tell you something, there's a reason that they're sad. You ought to take time sometime to reach out and ask them, hey, why is your countenance so sad all the time? You might just be able to be a blessing to them. But she was sorrowful. The Bible says she was bitter in her soul. Think about how she must have felt knowing that her husband had another wife who was able to give him children. The anguish and sorrow this woman must have felt was overwhelming. Being bitter of soul, we know our soul consists of what? Our mind, our emotion, and our will. Could you imagine being messed up in your mind? And then what happens in your mind is going to affect your emotions, and we know that it's ultimately going to affect what we do or our will in our life. In her mind, in her emotions, she was bitter. Imagine the lies the devil must have been telling her. You're not good enough. You're just the other woman. You're just the backup plan. You're just the one who gets to sit back and do all the work while she gets all the blessings. And you're just the one who gets to sit back and wish that you had what everybody else has. That's who you are. You're really nobody. And see, people believe those lies. Y'all see what I'm saying here? This woman was bitter in her soul, in her mind, and her emotions were messed up. Imagine the comparison that she must have had in her mind with Penina, the other wife. This would have been humiliating. Imagine, listen, if they were married to the same man, they probably lived in the same home. Can you imagine having to get up in the morning and share a bathroom with another woman who's married to your husband, who's bare children from your husband, who shares a kitchen with another wife? Can you imagine being in there and slaving away? And maybe Penina, and the Bible doesn't say she really did this, but can you imagine Penina going by saying, hey, aren't my children beautiful? Don't you wish you had some? I bet you wish you had some kids that Elkanah could pass some offerings off to, some blessings off to, but you don't. You see this woman's anguish and her distress and her heart to be a mom. She was not yet a mom, but she wanted to be. In verse number 10, number 2, we see that what she did with her bitterness. And can I say this before I tell you what she did? What you do with your bitterness will most certainly predict your future. Everybody okay? The Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not." It's natural to be angry. But if you take that anger and you let it set in and it becomes bitterness and envy and wrath and strife and just all the works of the devil, listen, what you do with your bitterness will predict your future. What she did with her bitterness was this: she prayed to the Lord. Look at verse 10. The Bible says she was in bitterness of soul and, what's the next word? Unto the Lord. She prayed to the Lord with her bitterness. Why is this significant? Well, what do you do when you get sorrowful or upset or have anguish in your heart because the situation is out of your control? How many mothers could say this morning, "Hey, I've dealt with some situations in life, whether while I was a mom or before I was a mom, that I could do nothing about. I wanted to change the situation, but there was simply nothing I could do." But you could have prayed. You could have went to the God of heaven who can change the situation if it is His will. You have such a care and a burden that you know not what to do with it. This woman took her care to the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Hey, before you'll ever cast your care to God or upon God, you're going to have to learn to humble yourself first. See, we have a problem in life. And this, I'm not just talking to ladies here. I'm talking to guys too. We have a serious problem in life, and it's this: pride. Problems arise and we think we can fix it. And sometimes we can. Sometimes it's little things, like we can go out and we can air up a tire if it's flat. We can take it to the tire shop and pay a guy to fix it, $20. We can do that kind of stuff, okay? Those are little things that we can do. But hey, a barren woman, we ain't fixing that. Hello? We ain't fixing that. Hannah wasn't fixing that. Oh, but she went to the doctor. And I'm not talking about the hospital doctor. I'm talking about she went to God, the Creator, the one who fearfully and wonderfully made her, by the way, and made no mistakes when He created her. Fearfully and wonderfully made her. She cast her care upon Him. Why? Because she understood that God cared about her. This situation would have taken a lot of humility. Imagine looking around and seeing everybody and everything, all the things that you want, all the people that have what you want. This would cause most people to be bitter and angry at God for a long time, and sadly, some permanently. Some of you, this would be what it takes for you to turn away from God forever and say, "God, if You really love me, You would have gave me this and this and this and this and this and this and this." Not ever thinking about what God has given you. Life. Listen, if God never granted us anything but eternal life, He sacrificed His only begotten Son so that you could have everlasting life. And that's enough. Amen? That's enough. We all today have bits of envy and jealousy inside of us, whether we'll admit it or not. We look around and we see things. "I sure would like to have that." Well, why? Jealousy is a very big deal. And can I say, envy and jealousy, you know what they are? They're killers. They're killers. Proverbs 14:30 says this: "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." Did you hear what I just said? I told you a long time ago, I firmly believe, I'm not saying I know it, but I believe the cure to cancer is in the Bible. That verse is pretty specific. Envy the rottenness of bones. Do you guys know that we have cancer of the bones? What does the Bible say envy causes? Rottenness of the what? Bones. So you say, me being, no, listen, don't take me out of context here. I'm not saying that's why you're sick. What I'm saying is it can get you sick. It can make you sick. Being jealous and envious of what someone else has, hey, they have it maybe because the Lord blessed them with it. Maybe they worked a little bit harder in life. Maybe they got a little bit more money than you, but that's okay. Hey, be content therewith such things that ye have. Don't worry about what everybody else has got. We saw a guy yesterday, and we were down at Fletcher's, and I guess Boggs and Boulders must have had something going on because there was ATVs and four-wheelers everywhere. And one guy rolled up with a big old nice truck, beautiful trailer, four four-wheelers on the back of that thing. Kason said, he's rich. I said, I don't think so. He got a lot of debt. Y'all got it. He said, hey, Dad, look what he's driving. Look at all them things he's got. And I said, yeah. But look, we see that kind of stuff all the time. We think that sure would be cool, but see, we don't think about once we get that, we got to do what? We got to pay for that stuff. All that stuff is just carnal stuff. That really, if we needed it, God would have gave it to us, wouldn't he? Because he said, I'll supply all your needs. Be careful what you envy after, for this sin is great and often overlooked. Envy brings on great confusion. The Bible says this in James 3:16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That's New Testament. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion. And by the way, who's not the author of confusion this morning? God is not the author of confusion. Be careful. Verse number 11, number 3, we see Hannah's vow to the Lord. You say, what's a vow? Well, it's simple. It's a solemn promise. She said, if thou wilt look on the affliction of thine handmaid. In the biblical context, it's a plea from a person, often a woman, to God, expressing their distress and seeking divine intervention. Again, this was so serious to Hannah that she was willing to make a vow to the Lord. And be careful when you make a vow. You better hold fast to that thing. You understand? Don't vow to the Lord and back up on your part of the deal. Her vow, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. You say, Brother Drew, why on earth would she be so sorrowful over not having children, but be willing just to birth a child and give him up? Maybe because she just desired to have a son. Maybe because she lived in a house where she saw what a blessing Penina's children were to her. Maybe she wanted to just be a mom. Say, Brother Drew, where are you going with this morning? I'm going to ask you this to all your mothers out there. Who have you given your children to? Who are you giving your children to? I wonder how many of you moms have ever said, God, thank you for giving me these children, but they're yours to do whatever you want to do with. Say, preacher, how can we tell who we've given them to? Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Hannah wanted a son so bad she was willing to just have the experience of bearing a child and willing to give him over to the Lord immediately. I wonder, have you as a mother this morning offered your children to the Lord for his service? I wonder how many moms could honestly say, God, if you want my son to serve you all the days of his life, allow me to be the mom. Allow me to put him in the place where he needs to be to seek to seek after you. Allow me as his mother to seek after you always, to seek after you first, to seek you first the kingdom of God. Allow me to put him in a position to succeed spiritually. I wonder how many moms have ever had that prayer. Most of us get more glory over the fact that our sons or our daughters hit a home run or score a touchdown or get the winning basket. We talk about that far too much. In heaven, that stuff is not there. Hey, and guess what? Sure, they can go score the winning touchdowns. Guess what the NFL does on Sundays while we're at church? They play football. I don't want to watch my son on TV one day skipping church for a stupid sport. Everybody all right? I don't want that. And if you want that for your children, shame on you. You got terrible dreams and aspirations for your children if that's your goal, to set them up to succeed in the sports world. If they make it, great, but that ain't spiritual. That's carnal. It ought not be more important than God. It just shouldn't. Hey, I get asked all of the time, why don't you let Kaysen play ball on Sundays? He's one of the best ball players we've ever coached. I'm so tired of hearing that. He's good because God lets him be good. He's good because he has brothers and a dad and a mom that goes outside and spends time with him. But hey, he's not good enough to miss church on Sunday, because that ain't getting him nowhere in life. It's fun. Sure, it's fun. We could be out there every Sunday, but it wouldn't look good if the preacher wasn't at church, would it? No. And it don't look good when you're not here either. Hey, mom, have some better dreams for your kids. Preacher, what are you talking about? Well, here's what I'm talking about. When Sunday school happens on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, have enough character to get out of bed and come to Sunday school. Why? Because the Word of God is going to be opened and it's going to be preached or it's going to be taught, and a teacher has spent time praying for your son or your daughter. You ought to have enough character to get up and go to Sunday school, even if it inconveniences you. Get them there. I got a text in Sunday school this morning. Brother Josh and Miss Kelsey's son Elliot, guess what, was in Sunday school this morning. Asked the Lord to save him. Got a picture of a preacher sitting there leading him to the Lord. Hey, what if they'd have missed Sunday school? It ain't that important, preacher. Hey, guess what? Sunday morning church, you ought to be there. What if that's the time that the preacher's prayed for your family and God's given him a message and the Holy Ghost was going to convict your son or your daughter? Sunday night church, hey, you ought not miss Sunday night just because it's Sunday night. Hey, don't let God take your excuses away from you. Listen to me. When the doors of the church are opened, church ought to be important to you. You ought to teach your children that church is first and foremost above everything. I promise you, if they had ball practice, you'd be there. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Hey, I spend a lot of nights at the ball field, but I ain't skipping church for it. Everybody all right? When VBS happens, hey, you ought to make time, if you can, bring your kids to VBS. I got saved in VBS. Teen camp, kids camp. I got called to preach at teen camp. Every time you have an opportunity to be in the house of God, it ought not be a dreadful thought that I have to get up, get the kids out of bed before 10 o'clock in the morning. Don't be so lazy. Have some character. Be excited to go to church. You say, preacher, why do you care about this so much? Because I think I care about some of your children more than you do. I do. I know the path that children take when mom and dad do not show them that it's important to be a part of the things of God. And not just when it's convenient for you to be here. When you're in my office in 20 years, when your babies are off, addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, marrying the wrong man, marrying the wrong woman, not in church, serving the devil, and you're knocking on my door saying, Pastor, can you please help me? Hey, I'm going to say, yeah, I can help you, but you should have listened. I'm tired of good church people and their kids becoming statistics. Hey, I know some are going to choose, just like Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But you know what else God said? You train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. You're not going to be able to choose every choice they make, but you train them up right. God's given you a promise. They'll be back. He ain't going to break his promise. Everybody okay? Hey, it's Mother's Day. What we need is some godly mothers, not just regular mothers. Godly mothers. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Do not put effort in wanting them to succeed carnally on this earth. Don't put more effort into that than pushing them towards spiritual things. Remember, we will reap what we sow. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hey, Hannah didn't give up. She made a vow to the Lord, God, you give me a man child and I'll give him right back to you and he'll serve you all the days of his life. I'll make sure of it. Mama, that ought to be your prayer for your sons and your daughters. God, if you bless me, hey, ain't a single mom in here that would say, I don't love my children. I guarantee you love them babies more than you love life itself. But listen, if you love them, push them towards the Lord. If you really love them, because guess what? Hell's hot. Everybody okay? Hell's hot. And we don't live in an area where everybody goes to heaven. Just calls. We live in a day of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace stands for to me. Jesus Christ came down and he bled and he died so that your son and your daughter can have an opportunity. But hey, if you don't point them to Christ, who will? Verse number 12. I love this. We see Hannah's continuous prayer. I like this. And it came to pass as she continued, what, church? Praying before the Lord. Can I say, the Lord loves one who will pray and pray often and pray fervently. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Listen, how many times have you been in an area in your life or a time in your life where you've had to go to God on behalf of your children? Most of us can say every single day. But, you know, there's been times where it's not just, Lord, would you please guide his steps today and keep him safe. You know, I remember when Colton started driving. You know, now that gives me something else to pray for every single morning. And Kyler could testify to that. He's smiling probably if he's listening. But listen, he drives the kids to school every day. And, you know, I'm not just talking about, Lord, keep them safe on the roads. And we ought to pray that. Because at any moment they could have tragedy, okay? But look, what I'm saying is, if you've been a parent long enough, you're going to know that kids are going to make some unwise choices sometimes. And they're going to get a little bit deeper than you would like them to get into some things, despite what you tell them, despite how much provoking you give them. They're still going to make bad choices. And all God's parents said? And then you're going to spend a little bit more time praying. But here's my thing. Hannah was praying all the way back there in verse number 10. What I like about her is she's still praying. God hadn't answered her prayer yet, but she hasn't given up on God after praying one or two times. How many of you are willing to continually pray even though God has not given you exactly what you want right now? See, we want God to work on our time. God, if you don't answer my prayer this time, you ain't going to hear from me again. That's a lot of our attitudes. Hey, this woman here, not hers. Every man and woman in this building right now ought to learn something from this woman. Pray and pray continually. Because God is faithful. This phrase, what does that effectual fervent prayer mean? Well, it emphasizes the power and effectiveness of a heartfelt prayer. Effectual means that the prayer brings about a desired outcome. And when I read this, I'm telling you, I think the Lord gave me a whole other message to preach, but I'm not going to preach it this morning. But while fervent describes the intensity and passion with which the prayer is offered, can I ask you this? What is your desired outcome for your children? I might preach this on Father's Day. What is your desired outcome for your children? Some of you are like, well, preacher, after listening to you preach what you preached the last 10 minutes, I had to switch it up a little bit. You know what I mean? My desired outcome is my boy to pitch in the majors. My desired outcome is my boy just make as much money as he can, have a big old house, big old car, good boat, good everything, good this, good that. Don't really know what kind of wife I want him to have, long as she's there, you know, and faithful to him. Hey, what's your desired outcome for your children? Stay tuned, Father's Day. Coming soon, New Hope Independent Baptist Church. What is your desired outcome? Can I say this? You ought to have a desired outcome for your children. You say, preacher, what do you mean? What do you see them being in the future? My desire for my children is simply this, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Whether they be a pastor, whether they be a plumber, whether they're an equipment operator, a computer technician, I hope they're not. I don't know. I don't like computers. I'm not good at them. They might be smarter than me. But whether they be a sound man, a missionary, a missionary's wife, hey, it don't matter what they are. What matters is that they're seeking first the kingdom of God and submitting to His will. That's what matters to me. And how in the world are they going to get there if daddy and mom's not pushing them in that direction? If they don't see me and Miss Crystal submitted to God, why should they submit to God? You know what I'm saying? What is your real desired outcome for your children? God has given you great responsibility. And can I say this? And I know a lot of you will question this. And how many grew up in a broken home? Raise your hand. I mean, mom and daddy were divorced. Look, I'm not picking on you. Mine were divorced. Listen, I love preaching to kids that grew up in broken homes. And here's the one thing I always like to tell people. God never made a mistake putting you in the home that He put you in. God never made a mistake giving you the parents that God gave you. Everybody all right? Parents, God never made a mistake giving you the children God gave you. Sometimes we might say, Lord, have mercy. You know, what in the world am I going to do with this one? Well, you know, it's like people used to say to me, I hope you get a child just like you. I got a couple of them. And you can pray for me, okay? I see mama's looking at their babies. Good. Listen, but know this. No matter your situation, God never makes a mistake. Everybody okay with that? Would you agree? Say amen. God never makes a mistake. So be content where God has you. But you should have a desired outcome for your children. And that desire should be to see them serve the Lord. In verse 15, we see Hannah has poured out her soul before the Lord. Everything in her mind, her emotion, and her will has been poured out to the Lord. She was determined to have her prayers answered. Hey, what's your determination level when you're praying to God? God, I'm coming back to you again. It seems like you ain't heard me in ages, but I'm going to try one more time. Is that your prayer life? Or are you praying to a God in heaven, hey, who, by the way, is still alive, still well enough to hear you, seeking the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman? Just how determined are you when you pray for your children? Do you really believe that God is able to do what you are asking for? Do you really believe that God's desire for your children is far greater than your desires? That's a lot, isn't it? As much as we love our children, hey, God loves them more. Everybody agree with that? He does. See, He does. He desires just as much as you do and more for them to serve Him. Just because He doesn't answer the first or second time, don't forget about it and accept the situation. Fervently pray and ask God to change the situation on their behalf. Can I say we serve a very powerful God who can change the situation if it's His will? In verse 16, number 6, we see through all of this sorrow. Now I love this right here. Through all of this sorrow, Hannah wanted not to be counted as a daughter of Belial or Satan. Look at verse 16, what it says. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of who? I read this and I thought to myself, why would that be there? And then I started thinking again. And I was like, you know, often when we go through tough times and trials, the worst comes out of us, doesn't it? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And see, she didn't want to be misunderstood, even though she was going through a trial, even though she was on her face before God, even though she had poured her heart out, she had been crying, she had been accused of being drunk by the priest, and she said, no, I'm just pouring my heart out to the Lord. Yes, my heart is broken. Yes, I'm in anguish. Yes, I'm sorrowful. But I don't want to be misrepresented as a child of the devil. I want everyone to know I'm a child of God. Hey, what do people know about you when you go through a trial? Some we never see again. Some we hear from them occasionally. Some the trial is the end of their life. Some the trial is just too much. Can I say this? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That verse applies to you and I. Listen, in your trial, you should want people to know that you are a child of God no matter the circumstance. What do you mean? I mean this. In the middle of your trial, if someone comes along hurting, you ought not have such a pity party that you can't help them. They ought to know, hey, I am a child of God, and greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Hey, Brother Walter preached it this morning. Satan literally destroyed Job from the outside, and he put boils on him. He took away his children. He took away his oxen. He took away all his animals. He left him with a wife who said, curse God and die, and I'm not blaming her. Hey, she lost her children too. Y'all with me? Don't pick on her. Listen, thank God she had a spiritual husband. It ain't Father's Day, but that's what some of your wives need. A spiritual husband. that'll say, you know what? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not being misrepresented as a child of the devil just because of my circumstance. She wanted to make sure that Satan had no glory in the situation. She wanted everyone to know that she was a child of God. Even in her trial, she wanted everyone to know that she was a child of God. She did not want any misrepresentation just because she was going through something traumatic in her life. She wanted people to understand that Jesus was enough. Jesus was enough. Hey, Mom, let me ask you something. Is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough? Dad? Son? Daughter? Grandma? Grandpa? Aunt? Uncle? Hey, preacher, is Jesus enough? What if we lost everything right now? If you're saved, you'd still have the most important thing you've ever possessed. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus is enough. What we need today is some mothers who are like this that will pray, vow to God to give their kids to the Lord. And when things go not as planned, we need some ladies and mothers who will pray through the situation. Hey, by the way, find another hurting mother and start praying with her. There's plenty of hurting moms in this world. We ought to take our eyes off ourselves and go find another mother who's hurting. You're not the only mom hurting, I promise you. There's babies going astray all over this world. And that's what the devil's wanting them to do. Pray together, only seeking to give God glory and show others Jesus Christ in our situation. These are the attributes of a godly mother. Miss Barb, if you'll come to the piano this morning. Lastly, this morning, while she's coming to the piano, number 7, in verse 18 and 19, I want you to see something. We saw her prayer answered. We saw her prayer answered. Verse 18, she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah and his wife, or knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Look at verse 20. "Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived." Hey, this mother's prayer was answered. The piano's going to play this morning. Listen, if God spoke to you this morning, I want to challenge you this morning as a mom. Listen, on a day like this, and I know it's tough, but every mom in here should take some time right now, if you're able, whether you're sitting right where you're at or right up here at this altar at a place of humility. Hey, why don't you come up here and pray for your babies this morning? I wonder how many of your babies are worth it to you, Mom. Preacher, I don't need to do that. Well, Hannah did.